Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael, reading this week's San Angelo Standard Times. These articles are for the week of Sunday, March 21st, 2021. I'm reading on Thursday, March 25th, 2021. I'll begin with the most recent articles. COVID-19 update. As of March 25th, Tom Green County, City of San Angelo. 16,552 positive cases reported. 11 new positive cases. Deaths, 306, 198 from Tom Green County and 108 from other counties. 4 currently hospitalized. 189 active cases. Tom Green County COVID-19 vaccine tracker. 14% of people fully vaccinated, by Chastity Lasky, published March 24th. Tom Green County has administered more than 45,020 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of March 23rd, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up 12% from the previous week's tally of 40,336 COVID-19 doses administered. In Tom Green County, 14% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of March 23rd. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention considers someone fully vaccinated 2 weeks after they've been given a single-dose shot, Johnson & Johnson, or a second shot, either Pfizer or Moderna. Texas reported 2,762,270 total cases of coronavirus, an increase of 0.90% from the week before. The 5 counties with the highest percentage of their population fully vaccinated in Texas as of March 23rd are Cleburne County, Dimmitt County, LaSalle County, Presidio County, and Jeff Davis County. 24% of people in Tom Green County have received only one dose of the vaccine, for a total of 28,688 people. 14% of people in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated, for a total of 16,651 people. Business. 1 year later, San Angelo business owners reflect on successes and struggles amid COVID-19, by Rosanna Frere, published March 24th. As San Angelo reached the one-year anniversary of its first COVID-19 case on March 24th, 2020, business owners reflected on a year's worth of change. For some businesses, the pandemic helped owners. For others, it closed their doors. Here are what some San Angelo business owners said about the past year. Specialties, games, toys, gifts. George and Linda Bell, owners of Specialties, Games, Toys, Gifts, said the past year was a roller coaster, but a few highlights were staying open and not letting any employees go. When it first hit, we immediately went ahead and set up a website because we weren't sure we'd ever be able to open the doors again, George said. George said their business was fortunate because the city attorney declared them an essential business, leaving their doors open for business. They knew the store, so it was a little bit easier for them to say yes, George said. Because everyone's going to be locked in, they're going to need things to not drive themselves crazy. And that has worked for us since we have games and toys for kids and educational items. The biggest lesson the owners learned in the past year was how to pivot and respond to what their customers need. For the customers who were locked in their houses and not able to leave because of quarantines, we delivered and we did curbside delivery, Linda said. We also installed an air sanitizing system to make sure our store is as safe as possible for our customers and our employees. The business has been in San Angelo for 28 years. The Crazy Fruit. Trina Stevenson, co-owner of The Crazy Fruit, said business has actually gone up in the past year. We have been staying pretty busy, but during that time when it first hit, it was kind of stressful, Stevenson said. But as of right now, it's going pretty good. The Crazy Fruit has 2 locations, which were closed for nearly a month in 2020. Just recently, the owners purchased a food truck to give themselves a 3rd location. We haven't taken out the food truck yet. We're just trying to get it up and running and get all the materials we need, Stevenson said. We will take it around town and to surrounding areas, too. This isn't the only way the business has expanded. Introducing curbside boosted business. We didn't offer it before, but now it's probably 75% of our business, she said. COVID kind of helped us in that area because it was more of a convenience for customers. Stevenson said the business is still requiring masks and we will reevaluate in April. Chadbourne Tavern, Lily's Pizza. Fernando Fuentes, owner of Chadbourne Tavern, also became the owner of Lily's Pizza in November 2020. Being the owner of a restaurant and bar, the pandemic has been a challenge, Fuentes said. The bars took a big hit. That's the one that was really tough, he said. The restaurant was a bigger challenge with the water situation and weather lately. It's been a struggle. The bar at 115 South Chadbourne Street was closed for nearly 7 months in 2020. We were just watching the bank accounts drop, and bills kept coming in when there was no income, Fuentes said. Fuentes bought the restaurant after finding out his bar could open if food was being served, therefore merging the two. It was weird to buy a restaurant during the pandemic, he said, but it helped me open up the tavern, so it was a blessing. We're starting to see the light at the end of this. Fuentes said his staff is still required to wear masks, but it is optional to customers. Fuentes said his biggest takeaway from the year is not to take anything for granted. You think about all the little things that can be taken away. Water, electricity, and just freedom. Don't take it for granted. The Casual Pint. Zach Marshall, owner of The Casual Pint, said his business has been affected dramatically in the past year. From complete closure to working with city and state entities to work with rules and regulations in hopes to have some revenue, he said, to paying for a permit change, changing our business model to restaurant. Marshall said the pub was only closed for a few weeks until they were able to use neighboring properties for seating space and distancing. If we narrowed down one thing that we learned in the last year, it's been that it's survival of the creative over fittest, Marshall said. HEB. Nick George, top store leader at the HEB store at 5502 Sherwood Way, said as workers for one of the largest grocers in the region, the employees at San Angelo's HEB stores have played a unique role in the events of the past year. HEB is immensely grateful for our partners, employees, during these unprecedented times, George said in a released statement. The perseverance and grit our partners have shown has been extraordinary. In times of need, it is important to lean on one another, and we are genuinely thankful for the support of our customers and community. George said he is honored to work for a company that has been adaptable to the continuous challenges Texas is facing and has always put its partners and communities first. As Texans helping Texans, we are very proud to live in and serve the community of San Angelo. San Angelo counselor offers tips on dealing with depression from COVID-19 pandemic by Elena Edgen, published March 25th. In March 2020, San Angelo, along with the rest of the world, began to come to a standstill as the COVID-19 pandemic took over. 1 year and a few more historic events later, many people have struggled with mental health, divided families, and resentment after the long lockdown. Ben Hubert, a counselor with West Texas Counseling and Guidance, has seen an increase in anxiety, depression, and addictive behaviors since the pandemic began. He gave some insight on how people can relieve their mental struggles and hopefully come back together. Self-care for parents. It's okay to want a break. When schools closed, parents had to take on the new role of teacher. San Angelo ISD attempted to ease the strain by providing Wi-Fi buses and technology, but parents still faced an unfamiliar task and stress. When the parents are not only parents, but they're the teachers too, there's no break, Hubert said. That was very stressful for those parents to step in the role of a teacher. On top of work, quarantines, and daily tasks, families generally did not get time apart. Hubert stated setting boundaries for self-care for parents and children is crucial to maintaining healthy relationships. Parents should not feel guilty for needing a break. Parents need to be able to say to your child, "I love you, but right now I need some me time," and not to feel guilty, Hubert said. Parents need to realize that the better they take care of themselves, the more they will have to be able to take care of their children. Also, if parents feel like they need a break, children could feel the same, according to Hubert. As for how to do self-care or take a break, Hubert suggested people do activities they enjoy daily. Exercise, a healthy diet, and sleep also positively affect mental health. Go for a walk, watch the birds, get involved in a hobby, Hubert said. When we do something like that we enjoy, our brain rewards us, and that's called coping. Post-pandemic, healing broken bonds and resentment. Historic events rocked the world in 2020 and 2021, including the pandemic, the civil unrest after the death of George Floyd, and a highly divisive election. It led to many families feeling disconnected, or in some cases, angry with each other. Hubert believes one of the biggest things post-pandemic will be the need to reunite and overcome resentments. "The day to agree to disagree is on life support," Hubert said. "I don't know if it's over, but it's on life support. People have lost significant relationships because of the political ideology surrounding the virus. Families split apart. Friendships were lost. That's not going to go away due to any vaccine or getting back to normal. In order to reunite, people need to approach each other with the willingness to understand," according to Hubert. "When extending the olive branch, do so without trying to argue or prove your point. Just try to understand. By being willing to understand, people can more easily accept. If we start out by saying, 'I respect and value you, so help me understand your thoughts and your feelings on whatever it is,' that's the big step and the first step," he said. "Then once we understand, we are more able to accept it, and difference doesn't become a division. Difference is no longer couched in right or wrong, but different." Another issue Hubert advised on is resentment. From students who did not get their normal school experience to disruptions in people's lives, people could feel resentful that things were not what they should have been. By fighting over the past, the reality of what has happened, it just keeps us trapped in our anger, sadness, frustration, and our fears, he said. "To move on, we have to let go of that. If not, it will trap us and it'll create resentments in ways we might not be aware of. That's just not a healthy way to be." Mental health and recovery services around San Angelo. As the stress hit people this year, Hubert noted addictions were on the rise. During a 12-month period, ending in May 2020, there were over 81,000 drug overdose deaths in the U.S., the highest number ever recorded in 1 year's time, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. These addictions are based on trying to cope, and they work in the short run. "Long-term is the problem," Hubert said. "There are folks who say they need help, and it's not a weakness. There's a lot of help out there. People just need to know that it's okay to ask for it." While overdose deaths were already increasing in the months preceding the pandemic, the latest numbers suggest an acceleration of overdose deaths, according to the CDC. The disruption to daily life due to the COVID-19 pandemic has hit those with substance use disorder hard, said CDC Director Robert Redfield, MD. "As we continue the fight to end this pandemic, it's important to not lose sight of different groups being affected in other ways. We need to take care of people suffering from unintended consequences. Here are some services available in San Angelo. Angelo State University Counseling Service. Phone 325-942-2371. MHMR. Phone 325-653-5933. West Texas Counseling and Guidance. Phone 1-800-325-9442-561. The Alcohol and Drug Abuse Council of the Concho Valley. 325-224-3481. Students can also speak with their school counselors. I would say for those who are significantly struggling with mental or emotional health issues, including addictions, don't wait to get help, Hubert said. There's folks out there who understand what they're going through and can help them have a much better quality of life. There's no reason to struggle every day. San Angelo marks 1 year of COVID-19, Looking Back and Moving Forward, by John Tufts, published March 24th. It happened exactly 1 year ago today. On March 24th, 2020, Tom Green County confirmed its first positive case of COVID-19, joining a growing list of places where the virus interrupted nearly every facet of normal life. It affected how we educated our children, how we shopped at local businesses, how we dressed, how we voted, where we ate, drank, and how we stayed in touch with loved ones. Hopefully, we are close to the end of this pandemic, said Tom Green County Judge Steve Floyd on Monday, March 22nd. I believe it will be years before all COVID-related changes are realized. Floyd recalled a conversation he had shortly after a joint press conference on March 19th, 2020, in which he and other public officials addressed the possible impact of COVID-19 on San Angelo. I don't think either of us understood then how broad that impact would be, Floyd said. When the virus came to San Angelo. The novel coronavirus arrived in San Angelo 4 days after Governor Greg Abbott suspended dine-in services at restaurants and bars across the state, ordered public gatherings be limited to 10 people or less, and decreed all Texas classrooms were to remain empty for the time being. Medical experts say the respiratory illness was highly contagious. It spread like wildfire at a dizzying pace, racking up infections and fatalities from Wuhan, China, in December 2019, to killing its first U.S. victim in Washington State on February 29, 2020, a man in his 50s who had underlying health conditions. For weeks, residents of the Concho Valley collectively asked themselves, could it happen here? On the afternoon of March 24, 2020, San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter answered that question during a press conference at the McNeese Convention Center. The city issued a news release at about 11:22 a.m. earlier that day concerning Tom Green County's first positive case, and Gunter had promised to keep the public informed. Flanked behind her were several government and public health experts, such as Shane Plymel, CEO of Shannon Medical Center, City Manager Daniel Valenzuela, Local Health Authority Dr. James Vretis, and Tom Green County Judge Steve Floyd. We made a commitment to the public that the minute we had a positive case of COVID-19, that we would call a press conference, Gunter said that Tuesday afternoon. She said San Angelo's first case of the virus infected a man in his 70s who had traveled internationally, then drove into San Angelo. While Gunter said the city could not release where the man had traveled, she said it was not a case of community transmission and measures were in place to help contain the virus. We have known that COVID-19 was coming to the Concho Valley, Vretta said March 24th. We have been preparing for several weeks for the arrival. Other organizations and businesses around San Angelo had prepared as well. After extending spring break, the San Angelo Independent School District took swift action to clean and disinfect schools with two teams, one spraying disinfectant and another team wiping down surfaces. District official Dr. Farah Gomez later credited staff, and especially its custodial teams, who worked hard to keep COVID-19 numbers low and campuses and classrooms from many closures. She said less than 1% of SAISD's student and staff population at any time had a positive case. From August 2020 until March 22, 2021, SAISD reported a total of 390 positive cases, 314 students, and 76 staff members. On March 24th, 2020, Vretas urged the public to do what he and others would later echo for the next several months. Wash your hands, cover your mouth when you cough, practice safe social distancing, and stay away from others if you feel sick. I ask members of our community to remember that it is the simple things done correctly that will save lives, Vretas said. The number of positive COVID-19 cases began to grow. The city reported 184 tests had been administered and 69 were returned as negative on March 24th for coronavirus. There were 114 tests pending, according to a city news release. Within 24 hours, San Angelo had its second positive case, a man in his 20s who was in direct contact with another patient. 2 days later, on March 27th, a third person tested positive, this time from an unknown source. San Angelo's first case of community spread. COVID-19 was like an invisible monster that had escaped from its cage, and the monster was now running loose in the city. The number of positive cases continued to trickle in San Angelo during the end of March and April. On April 9th, 2020, the health department confirmed a man in his 70s died from the virus at Shannon Hospital, the first death of a patient with COVID-19 in Tom Green County. Reporting the first COVID-related death in San Angelo was a reality check. It made us realize that our community was not going to be immune to the pandemic, said Sandra Villarreal, City of San Angelo Health Services Director. There were then a wave of cases hit the city at the end of July, despite the cancellation of San Angelo's annual July 3rd Pops concert and fireworks show at Lake Nasworthy. By November 2020, the virus was no longer a wave, but a downpour. Tom Green County saw its highest reported number of cases in a single day, 235, on November 12, 2020. There were 2,169 active cases of COVID-19 on November 29th, and the city's highest number of hospitalizations, 102, on November 25th and November 29th. As of Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021, there have been 16,535 total positive cases of COVID-19 in the community, up to 198 people, along with 108 more out-of-county residents, have died in Tom Green County from COVID-19. Plymouth said the scale of the virus was unprecedented. In over 30 years of working in healthcare, I've never seen such a rapidly changing event of this magnitude. It affected every one of our providers and staff members and every aspect of what we do at Shannon, Plymouth said. It was so difficult because our patients could not have their loved ones with them, and family and friends are so supportive and helpful through the healing process, he said. COVID-19 takes its emotion toll on San Angelo. It's as if your life just stops, said Courtney Frizzell, a 32-year-old San Angelo woman who quarantined herself in March 2020 after developing COVID-like symptoms. I had severe body aches, chills, nausea, and some sinus pressure with a fever of 101.5 degrees. Frizzell later developed shortness of breath and a cough. She said she became so fatigued, it was difficult to stand long enough to take a shower. She wasn't able to get near her family out of fear that they would get sick too. As medical staff at Shannon Hospital worked to treat the sick, Vretas said he would remember the pain, fear, hopelessness, and suffering of the COVID-19 patients and their families. The trauma that citizens had to live with was just so painful, Mayor Gunter said, remembering the many phone calls she's received in the past year about COVID-19. Gunter recalled stories from people who were not able to say goodbye or be with their loved ones in the hospital. A business owner herself, she said she received many phone calls from residents who did not know how they were going to feed their family due to business closures instituted by Governor Abbott's executive orders. Floyd said he extended his heartfelt condolences to those that suffered from this virus, stating its effects will be mental, medical, and financial for years to come. Moving forward with COVID-19 in 2021. The number of positive coronavirus cases reported in Tom Green County dropped significantly since the waning months of 2020. On Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021, there were 7 new cases of the virus, 8 people hospitalized, and 188 active cases in the community, according to a city news release. Health officials like Villarreal are optimistic but say the virus isn't gone. The pandemic has not been declared over, and thus we will still see spikes, especially due to relaxing of orders that had been in place this past year, Villarreal said. However, because of the increase in vaccination rates, it's our hope that those spikes will be smaller and hospitalizations and deaths will decrease as the months progress. She hopes San Angelo residents will continue to practice good public health habits, such as washing their hands to help keep the virus at bay. In addition to those habits, more people in Tom Green County have more access to COVID vaccine. December 2020, state officials reported 1,950 doses of vaccine for the coronavirus were shipped to Shannon Pharmacy, with the first round of vaccinations for medical personnel and first responders beginning in San Angelo on December 15th. Tom Green County has administered more than 40,336 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of March 16th, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. On Friday, March 19th, 2021, the San Angelo Chamber of Commerce announced a partnership with Shannon Medical Center for a Sleeves Up San Angelo vaccination event for all people ages 16 and older in the Concho Valley. This past year has produced many heroes, Floyd said, from the frontline healthcare workers through a great health services sector, the financial community that worked many long days processing relief packages for the financially troubled businesses, to folks that served those unable to care for themselves. The list goes on. Plimel said the last year has felt like running a marathon, with staff at Shannon maintaining drive-through testing sites and administering the COVID-19 vaccine. He expressed his appreciation to those in San Angelo who worked together the past 12 months to help contain the pandemic. The city, county, school district, Goodfellow Air Force Base, Angelo State and Howard College, regional hospitals and clinics, and many more have all worked collaboratively on a continual basis with us to help take care of our city and the region, Plimel said. I believe this pandemic has brought us even closer together and has made our community even stronger. Shannon Medical Center in San Angelo adds Rehabilitation Hospital, by Colin Murphy, published March 24th. Patients requiring specialized medical care due to deliberating injuries or conditions will soon have a new facility in which to receive treatment in San Angelo. The new 40-bed Shannon Rehabilitation Hospital will soon open its doors to patients from across the Concho Valley after the ceremonial ribbon was cut at the 6046 Appaloosa Trail location on Wednesday. Tracy Watkins, CEO of the Shannon Rehabilitation Hospital, said the new facility will allow Shannon Medical Center to both augment and broaden the level of health care available to patients. This expands and enhances rehabilitative care, Watkins said. It's a specialty practice. Shannon recognized that their 14-bed unit wasn't able to specialize as much as they needed to provide the care that the San Angelo community needed. The new hospital represents the results of a partnership between Shannon Medical Center and Encompass Health, a healthcare provider with 136 hospitals, 82 hospice facilities in 39 states and Puerto Rico, as well as 241 home healthcare locations across the country. The new hospital in San Angelo features state-of-the-art equipment and facilities, including a therapy gym with advanced rehabilitation technology, a therapeutic courtyard, activities of daily living suite, in-house pharmacy, and a dining room. In addition to injuries, patients with conditions such as stroke, brain, and/or spinal cord damage, amputations, or other severe neurological disorders can receive treatment. San Angelo man sentenced to 29 years in prison after methamphetamine arrest, by Elena Edgen, published March 25th. A San Angelo man was sentenced to spend 29 years in a federal prison after police discovered narcotics and weapons in a residence, according to a police news release. On January 10, 2020, police searched a residence in the 700 block of East 17th Street. They discovered about 5 pounds of methamphetamine, guns, and cash, according to the release. This led to the arrest of Jose Luis Alvarez, Jr., 42. His case landed before United States District Court Judge James Wesley Hendricks, who sentenced him, according to the release. The Street Crimes Division of the San Angelo Police Department is responsible for identifying illegal narcotics distribution sources affecting our community, the release stated. Working in concert with numerous other resources in our community, as well as across the state, the Street Crimes Division proactively employs investigative methods that have a positive impact on local illicit drug trafficking, drug abusers, and decreasing the availability of controlled substances in San Angelo. Police seize 2.8 pounds of meth and firearm from San Angelo home, by Rosanna Frere, published March 24th. San Angelo police seized 2.8 pounds of meth, a firearm, and money from a home on North Monroe Street on Tuesday. On March 23, 2021, detectives with the San Angelo Police Department's Street Crimes Division executed a search warrant for narcotics at a residence located in the 900 block of North Monroe Street, according to a news release. During the search, detectives located and seized approximately 2.8 pounds of suspected methamphetamine, approximately $2,500 in U.S. currency, and a firearm, the release stated. Charges are pending the outcome of the investigation, according to the release. This next article we're reading is slightly longer than most articles because it has a lot of information and data related to Election Day, May 1st, and it has some changes to earlier lists. Some voting locations in San Angelo have changed for Election Day, May 1st. Check this list, by John Tufts, published March 23rd. Tom Green County officials announced registered voters will have three new polling locations to cast their ballots during the May 1st, 2021 election, as well as three locations officials decided to close this year. The City of San Angelo and school district elections will be held Saturday, May 1st, 2021. The deadline to register to vote is April 1st, 2021. On Monday, March 22nd, election officials announced several polling locations have changed in Tom Green County for Election Day. Voters are encouraged to see if the location where they usually vote is open May 1st. Where can I vote on Election Day? Voters can cast ballots at the following locations used in previous elections: Angelo Bible Church, 3506 Sherwood Way; Belmore Baptist Church, 1214 South Bell; Calvary Baptist Church, 2401 Armstrong Street; Christoval Community Center, 20022 Main Street, Christoval, Texas; Concho Valley Transit District Bus Depot, 506 North Chadburn; SAF First Assembly of God, 1442 Edmond Boulevard; Grape Creek ISD, 8207 U.S. Highway 87 North; Keating Paint and Body, 5050 North Chadburn; Paul Ann Baptist Church, 2531 Smith Boulevard; Southgate Church of Christ, 528 Country Club Road; Southside Recreation Center, 2750 Ben Ficklin Road; St. Ambrose Catholic Church, 8602 Loop 570 Wall, Texas; MHMR Services for the Concho Valley, Administration Building, 1501 West Beauregard; Very Best Baptist Church, 50 FM 2334, Very Best, Texas; Wesley United Trinity Methodist Church, 301 West 18th Street. Tom Green County election officials add three new voting locations. Election officials stated in a news release they've added the following three locations where voters can cast their ballots on May 1st. Trinity Lutheran Church, 3536 Lutheran Way; Southland Shopping Center, 5030 A Knickerbocker Road; St. Mark Presbyterian Church, 2506 Johnson Avenue. Three polling locations won't be available for the May 1st election. Voters will not be able to cast a ballot this election at the following locations: Celebration Church, TxDOT, or West Texas Rehabilitation Center. When should I send my voter registration application? Voter registration applications must be postmarked by April 1st to qualify for the May election. Elections officials stated that because there are multiple city single-member districts and school districts involved in the election, it will be important for voters who have moved to ensure that they have updated their address so they will be voting on the correct representatives. To get a voter registration and ballot by mail application online, visit www.votetomgreencounty.org under the forms link. Elections office will operate special hours, close for Good Friday. Beginning March 29th until April 2nd, the election office will have special hours, a news release stated. The office will close March 29th, and its hours on March 30th and 31st will be 8 a.m. to noon. On April 1st, the elections office will be open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. County offices will close for Good Friday on April 2nd. Elections officials stated requests for ballots by mail must be received by April 19, 2021. Where can I go for early voting? Early voting will take place at the Ed B. and Francis Frink Keyes Building, 113 West Beauregard Avenue, in the election office. When can I early vote? Election officials stated the hours for early voting are as follows. April 19th through the 23rd, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. April 24th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. April 25th, 12:30 to 5:30 p.m. April 26th and 27th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Who and what's on the ballot this election? Registered voters in San Angelo and Tom Green County will decide who serves as the city's next mayor, as well as several trustee positions on the San Angelo ISD and Grape Creek ISD school board. City of San Angelo, Mayor, Dietrich Tillis, Brenda Gunter, Silvara Lawson. Single Member 2, Mercedes De La Cruz, C.A. Avel Rangel, Tom Thompson. Single Member 4, Lucy Gonzalez. Single Member 6, Larry Miller, James R. Irvin, Billy DeWitt. San Angelo Independent School District. Single Member District 1, Chris Guerreau, Bill Dindel. Single Member District 2, Lupita Arroyo, unopposed, declared elected. Single Member District 3, Colin Neal Glaspie, Debbie Cross, A. Taylor Kingman. Single Member District 4, Ami Mizell Flint, Lynette Lucas. Grape Creek Independent School District, trustees, four positions, Jeff Lashley, Rebecca Becky Buck, Stephanie Tankersley, Fred Contreras, Ronnie Clayton, Aaron C. Flint, Barton F. Gamble, Diane Jones. Water Valley Independent School District, Proposition A, the issuance of $8,200,000 of bonds by the Water Valley Independent School District for school facilities, buses, and vehicles, and levying a tax in payment thereof. This is a property tax increase. For more information about voter registration, ballot by mail, or polling places, call 325-659-6541 or email elections@co.tom-green.tx.us. Police say Angelo State athlete admits he fled from fatal crash, teens identified, by Elena Edgen and John Tufts, published March 22nd. An Angelo State University baseball player was arrested and released after a fatal crash killed two teens and injured three more, according to court documents. About 6:05 a.m., Thursday, March 18th, a police officer conducting traffic enforcement noticed a silver SUV speeding southbound on Bryant Boulevard. The officer activated their emergency lights, and the SUV accelerated, according to the arrest affidavit. The SUV ran a red light at Avenue Inn. A tan Explorer Sport Track T-boned the SUV, causing the SUV to spin and collide with a light pole. The SUV's 17-year-old driver was ejected from the vehicle, record state. The SUV held four teens and a 12-year-old. Donovan Byers, a 16-year-old passenger, died in the crash. Alexis Sorolla Villamil, 17, was taken to the hospital and died from her injuries. The driver, along with two passengers, 16 and 12 years old, were injured. Video from the crash showed the pickup continuing westbound, never stopping at the scene, according to the affidavit. Police asked for the public's help to find the pickup, which had front-end damage. Angelo State parking permit leads to athlete's arrest. A resident reported the pickup, which had been left unattended on West Loop 306 east of Knickerbocker Road. The vehicle was registered to an ASU athlete from California. An ASU parking permit led police to a residence in the 2500 block of A&M Street, record state. Police met with the truck's owner, who told the police he drove the truck during the crash and left the scene, according to the arrest affidavit. According to Texas law, a person can be charged with accident involving death if they do not stop, return to the area, determine if a person needs help, or does not remain at the crash. Benjamin James Elder, 24, was arrested Thursday on suspicion of accident involving death. He was released Friday from the Tom Green County Detention Center on a $30,000 bond, according to online jail records. Elder has been a standout pitcher for the Angelo State University baseball team. He currently holds the lowest earned run average of any pitcher in the Lone Star Conference. He was named the LSC Pitcher of the Week on March 2nd. Elder's last appearance in a game was March 6th, when he had six strikeouts against Lubbock Christian. Akash Vukodi wins San Angelo Spelling Bee title again, by Colin Murphy, published March 21st. There was a familiar face holding the first place trophy at the conclusion of the annual San Angelo Area Spelling Bee on Saturday, as 11-year-old Akash Vukodi won his third local title on his way to qualifying for the National Spelling Bee for the fourth time. Vukodi previously competed in the Scripps National Spelling Bee in 2016, 2018, and 2019. Vukodi said he was excited to have the opportunity to be San Angelo's spelling ambassador at the national competition once again. "It feels awesome to be representing San Angelo again," Vukodi said. "I'm really humbled and thankful to everyone that helped me get to this point. It's really awesome." Theron Stamps, MC for the 32nd annual San Angelo Spelling Bee, said he thinks Vukodi has the chance to do well on the national stage. Stamps also said, having been involved with the local spelling bee for nearly 20 years, he and other organizers were happy to be able to host the event again. The 2020 spelling bee was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. "I think he has a lot of potential to win," Stamps said. "He's a smart kid. He's very engaging. He has no problem stepping up to the microphone. We are super excited to be back at it with the spelling bee. Last year was a bump in the road because we couldn't participate, so it's exciting to have everyone back together and get the spelling bee back on track again." Coming in at second place was Colby Mitchell, followed by Dylan Ochoa in third place. Vukodi won the event by correctly spelling the word Grand Dame. The preliminary, quarterfinal, and semifinal rounds of the 2021 Scripps National Spelling Bee will be held virtually, with 10 to 12 finalists traveling to Orlando, Florida in early July to compete in person in the finals, which will be nationally televised on ESPN. San Angelo Water. Latest tests find no trace of benzene or other chemicals in Paul Ann area, by John Tufts, published March 19th. Lab technicians haven't found detectable levels of benzene, acetone, or naphthalene in water supplies samples collected around San Angelo's northern industrial zone in weeks, but residents living there are still being advised to not drink, consume, or cook using tap water. On Friday, March 19th, officials released the latest lab results of city water showing no detectable levels for several chemicals and samples collected mid-February through March 11th. While lab tests released Friday record the presence of some chemicals, which are calculated in the parts per billion, no chemicals after February 11th have been found to be above the maximum containment level allowed in San Angelo's water. On February 8th, high levels of chemicals were discovered dripping from faucets in San Angelo's Paul Ann neighborhood. The contamination led to a citywide do not use water advisory. Restrictions have since eased for most of San Angelo, but it's still been deemed too dangerous in some parts of the city to drink, cook, or consume the water. On Tuesday, March 16th, Water Utilities Director Allison Strube told officials there were as many as 29 residents in the Northern Industrial Zone who cannot use their water under the advisory, but they were receiving assistance by the city. The advisory will last for the foreseeable future until investigators can discover what caused the source of the contamination, but finding it could take a while. Based on the volume of contaminants last month in San Angelo's water, Strube doesn't expect the chemicals were being kept in quantities a business in the northern industrial area would have had to report by law. It could have been less than a gallon that caused the issues we saw February 8th, Strube said. So we're not looking for tens of thousands of gallons of a chemical. We're looking for a milk jug or less. At 85 facilities and businesses in the northern industrial and Paul Ann areas have been inspected by teams from McAllen, Lubbock, Brownwood, and Abilene, according to a city news release issued late Tuesday afternoon. In addition to the city of San Angelo, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, TCEQ, is conducting its own investigation into the source of the contamination. So far, officials have not found the responsible party. For more information, please visit cosatx.us/Paul Ann. Police say child, 8, reports years of sexual abuse. San Angelo man arrested. A San Angelo man has been arrested 12 hours after police asked for the public's help finding a person wanted in a child sex abuse case, according to an arrest affidavit released Friday. On March 12th, police responded to a woman's report that a child had made an outcry of sexual abuse. The child, 8, told police they had been sexually abused the day before and numerous times since they were 4 years old by the same man, according to the affidavit. Investigators obtained a video from the March 11th report, which corroborated the child's outcry of continuous sex abuse, records state. About 10:30 a.m., Wednesday, March 17th, police posted a call for information on Facebook. The post described a man wanted in connection to a child sex abuse case. Just over 12 hours later, the man was booked into Tom Green County Detention Center. John Barry Suksta, 29, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of continuous sex abuse of a child younger than 14, driving while license invalid, a red light violation, and two warrants. He was released from the Tom Green County Detention Center the next day on a $153,018 bond, according to online jail records. Sleeves Up San Angelo event spurs businesses and people 16 and older to get COVID-19 vaccine, by Rosanna Frere, published March 19th. The San Angelo Chamber of Commerce has partnered with Shannon Medical Center for a Sleeves Up San Angelo vaccination event. The COVID-19 vaccination is now available for people of all ages 16 and older in the Concho Valley, according to a news release. To encourage our business community to get vaccinated, we're rolling out a focused social media campaign by industry and sector, the release stated. All vaccination appointments will take place at the Shannon Clinic location in the Old Bell store in Sunset Mall, 4001 Sunset Drive. If you can't make it on your industry's dedicated day, we encourage you to make an appointment whenever it's convenient for you, the release stated. Visit www.shannonhealth.com/COVID vaccine to schedule your appointment. Here's the vaccination schedule for the upcoming event. And as this article was published March 19th, some of the dates have already passed. Food service, personal services, hotels, accommodations, and attractions, as well as financial services, banks, credit unions, financial advisors, investment firms, etc. Those dates were all March 22nd through the 25th. Beginning with Friday, March 26th, retailers, boutiques, gifts, clothing, convenience stores, etc. Monday, March 29th, realtors. Tuesday, March 30th, auto industry. And Wednesday, March 31st, manufacturers. Texas coral snake is the Lone Star State's only member of the cobra family, by Michael Price, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times, published March 22nd. I often get requests via email or social media to assist with the identification of a particular animal. I love to do this, by the way, so feel free. On multiple occasions, the request is of a colorful snake that someone has found, and the person is fearful that it is a dangerous animal. But out of literally dozens of these requests, I can only recall once where the animal was truly a variety of cobra that resides here in Texas, and that colorful serpent is the Texas coral snake. The Texas coral snake, Mercurus tenor, occurs from Louisiana and Arkansas westward to central Texas and southward to the Mexican state of Morelos. In Texas, it may be encountered throughout the entirety of eastern and southern ecoregions, and it is also a fairly common sight in the hill country, particularly along the I-10 corridor from San Antonio to Sonora. However, despite years of stories being passed along generationally, it does not occur in any areas in the panhandle, and its range barely extends into the easternmost areas of the Trans-Pecos. Several specimens have been recorded from just east of Sanderson. In this range, it resides in areas of thick plant litter that allows it access to the humid subterranean lifestyle that it prefers. Texas coral snakes can be quite visually stunning with their bands of red, yellow, and black. The tri-colored arrangement of these bands is what sets this snake apart from other similarly colored animals, as the coral snake is the only snake where the yellow and red bands touch. While the saying of red touch yellow, kill a fellow, can be problematic to utilize while the snake is in movement, it is still the best way for positive identification. In addition, these vibrant bands encircle the entire body of the snake. The belly is not colored any differently than the back. There is oftentimes a variable amount of black flecking in the red bands, particularly in older, larger specimens. The head is solid black, followed by a yellow nape ring. There are no red bands on the tail, nor in front of the yellow neck ring. The vast majority of Texas coral snakes that are encountered are generally around 2 feet in length and have a girth roughly the size of a number two pencil. However, many specimens exceed those expectations, and one true giant that was found along the coast was a whopping 48 inches in length. The Texas coral snake, unlike every other venomous serpent in the state, is not a pit viper, but rather a member of the cobra family. As such, it is quite different in a multitude of aspects, including its prey selection, its reproduction methods, fang arrangement, and its venom composition. Like its old world cousins, the Texas coral snake practices ophiophagy, meaning that it feeds chiefly upon other snakes. These prey items are subdued not by constriction or by being restrained, but rather are overpowered by a virulent venom that is over 8 times more lethal than that of the feared diamondback rattlesnake. Once the prey item has been grabbed and held onto by the coral snake, it will be quickly overcome by the venom. Unlike pit vipers, coral snakes employ an egg-laying method to reproduce. Animals that utilize this method of reproduction are referred to be oviparous. Reproduction occurs from late summer, early fall, or from late spring, early summer. Regardless of when breeding occurs, the half dozen eggs are laid in midsummer, usually July, after a 2-month incubation period. the extremely colorful and diminutive 7-inch young emerge from the egg fully prepared to fend for themselves. Where it occurs, this snake is an extremely abundant species, particularly in garden areas, where the combination of watered mulch and paving stones can be utilized for subterranean haunts. As mentioned before, the venom of the Texas coral snake is exceptionally powerful. But thankfully, it is an extraordinarily benign species that prefers to defend itself by retreating than by fighting. In fact, the vast majority of envenomations occur when people either 1. Unknowingly step on the snake, or 2. Knowingly handle the snake. There are many Texas species of non-venomous snakes that mimic the Texas coral snake, including the 4 varieties of milk snake and the Texas long-nosed snake. However, the pattern arrangement in those non-venomous all hold fast to the old adage, red touch yellow, kill a fellow. Red touch black, venom lack. Michael Price is owner of Wild About Texas, an educational company that specializes in venomous animal safety training, environmental consultations, and ecotourism. Contact him at wildabouttexas@gmail.com. And now here's our weekly column from Allison Watkins. Pecan trees need a little help to thrive in West Texas. Published March 23rd. Pecans are beautiful, popular landscape trees in the Concho Valley. I get many questions asking how to get a better crop from a home landscape or small orchard planting. They are wonderful native trees, but pecans usually need a bit of help to produce a large, high-quality crop of nuts. The best thing that homeowners can do for their trees is to produce well is to water thoroughly and frequently, apply nitrogen fertilizer regularly throughout the growing season. Young trees will need at least 7 to 10 gallons of water per week, and older trees will need as much as 50 inches of precipitation annually. Since we average around 20 inches of rainfall in the Concho Valley, that means a significant amount of irrigation is needed to maintain large trees and grow a nice crop of pecans. Adequate moisture is needed all through the growing season in order for the nuts to grow to full size, then fill well with kernel, and for the shuck to split open at the end of the season. So reliable, steady watering is important. To produce the needed nitrogen, apply 1 pound of 21-00 fertilizer per inch of trunk diameter per tree, or 3/4 of a pound of 33-00 fertilizer per inch of trunk diameter per tree. Start the fertilization program in the spring as buds begin to grow, and repeat every 6 to 8 weeks through the season. Apply to the ground under the tree canopy using a broadcast spreader to cover the whole rooting zone, then water it immediately. Zinc foliar sprays are also very helpful for pecan production. Zinc is essential for maximum leaf expansion, and larger leaves help produce better pecans. Apply foliar zinc frequently in the early part of the growing season, because zinc sulfate can seriously damage the leaves of many types of plants. Use zinc nitrate on pecan trees in home landscapes to avoid damaging surrounding plants. Keep an eye out for pests that damage the nuts, the pecan nut case bearer in the spring and the pecan weevil later in the summer. If the tree has a heavy crop set in the spring, it's okay to not treat for case bearers because an overloaded tree could benefit from a crop reduction. If treatment is needed, though, the timing of the spray is very precise. We manage a mailing list regarding the proper timing and recommended spray dates for case bearers. Visit tomgreen.agrilife.org/horticulture to sign up. The Concho Valley Master Gardeners are hosting their annual plant sale on Saturday, April 10th, starting at 8 a.m. at the Tom Green 4-H Center. For more info, visit txmg.org/Concho Valley or call the extension office at 325-659-6522. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at a E. Watkins at ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.